Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke, I am your father. Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book of the New Testament. Is it raining out? That's right. How many of y'all saw the rainbow today? I saw one yesterday. There was one this morning. Y'all were probably asleep at 7:30-ish. How many of y'all were asleep at 7:30?
Praise the Lord.
Just for the record, a rainbow, God put a rainbow in the sky to remind us that he will never flood the earth again. In Genesis, that is what a rainbow means. Nothing else. Nothing else. Okay? So, it is no group's logo. It's no university's logo. It is God's sign that he will never flood the earth again. It is a reminder that death came because of sin and that he won't flood the earth again or destroy the earth by water. Now, the bad part is that he's going to destroy it by fire. So we're not off the hook yet, but that's a reminder. It's a nice little pretty reminder. Lord, thank you so much for the rainbow. It's so beautiful. And we just thank you for being good to us. And I pray that you challenge us today and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing about Hawaii, that's their symbol. If you go to Hawaii, you see 2 and 3 rainbows at a time. It's really like in a whole other planet because like they'll be over each other, and it's really kind of wild. But anyway, that's what it means. It means that God will never flood the earth. Every single year, the President of the United States has a State of the Union address in front of a joint session of Congress, and he basically outlines all the new laws and initiatives he's going to lay out for that year. And you have the Republicans on one side, the Democrats on the other side. And if you watch it, half the room will stand up and cheer. Then they'll sit down. And then the other half will stand up. And then sometimes they both stand up based on what party they're in. And there's a lot of division in the room. But what he's there to do is say, this year, here's what we need to do. And he's trying to sell his programs to not only Congress, but he's trying to sell it to the nation. Now, in this room, for the most part, we all know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And what we have in common is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Jesus is God. He's King of Kings. There's no president. There's no election here. He is who he is, and he's not applying for the job. And he can't be impeached. And he has called this church and us into existence and you into existence as a human for a very specific purpose. It's not negotiable. What God has planned for your life is not negotiable. And what God has equipped you to do is not negotiable. He's given it to you. That's it. If you want to sing and you can't sing, you're never going to sing. Okay, if you learn how to sing, you've always were able to, you just needed to work. But some of y'all will never be able to sing. Some of you will never be able to dunk a basketball. Some of you will never be able to read 1,000 words a minute, whatever it is. But he has given you some talent. And he's given you that talent for a very specific reason. He's called this church into existence for a very specific reason. We started this church February 2000. This year, this month, is our 9-year anniversary, February 27, 2000. Amen. Amen. We started at San Diego State. We had 3,000 people our first day, just about this many people our first day. We were San Diego State for 5 years, and in those 5 years, we moved 35 times. About five times a year, I'm sorry, seven times a year, we couldn't use the room we had for our church, which is Montezuma Hall. So we would go to another hotel. We go to Mission Valley, Marriott. We go to Golden Hall. We go to Open Air Theater. And almost every summer of those 5 years, we'd have to leave 3 weeks in a row, and then come back for 1 week, and then leave again. It was chaos. Imagine just saying, you know, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be at these two places, then come back, and then we're going to be gone again, and we have to give people a calendar where we're going to be, and they have to find us. It was great. Some people would come to church, and we weren't there, and they thought the rapture happened, that everyone went to heaven, and, you know, because, you know, no one's here. It's Sunday. Everyone's got to be at church. So we did that for 5 years. Then we moved to Ruffin Road, where we were for 2 years, and we grew from 5,000 to 7,500 or so. We moved here a year and a half ago, August 26th, was our first service here of 2007. There's around 12, 14,000 people here. It fluctuates a lot, but it's about 12, 14,000 people. And all that's fine. Matter of fact, last year we were the second fastest growing church in the country. All that's fine. But the question is, what are we going to do with all that? God's blessed us. What are we going to do with it? It is not, the goal is not to have a lot of people. Now, the goal is to reach a lot of people, okay? But the goal is not just to amass a lot of people, say, here's all the people we got. It has never been the goal. It has never been the goal. It's always, how many people can we reach? Matter of fact, if you go to seminary, they will teach you when you start a church, and this is completely backwards and unbiblical, but they teach it anyway. When you go to church, you want to reach a homogeneous unit. In other words, you want to reach all white people, all black people, all Hispanic, all between this economic, whatever, whatever. And because if you try to reach everybody, you're not going to reach anybody. Well, we're going to reach everybody. Everyone say everybody. So if you look around the room, everybody's in here. There's people next to you. There's people next to you, or maybe right not next to you, because you may know those people. But there's people around you. You have no idea what they do. No idea. And some of those people, you can't handle knowing what they do. You don't want to know. Just love them. That's it. And everything will be fine, okay? But there's everything you can imagine. So we're going to reach everybody. But so God has done all this, but what is the point? Now, if you look at chapter 12, verse 48, at the second sentence in the verse, chapter 12, verse 48b, it says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask much more." And what God is saying to me and to you, he's saying, I've given you all of this. I've given you this opportunity. I've given you these resources. I've given you these connections. I've given you this church. I've given you this city. And I've given you all these people who have a need. And I put you in the United States of America when the economy is going in the tank and everyone's scared about what the future holds, when I'm telling you I hold the future, God I'm talking about. And so I've given all that to you. So what are you going to do with it? And you have all those ministries out there, and that's just the beginning. All these opportunities to serve, and an opportunity for you to make up your own ministry. So what are you going to do with it? Okay? Now, if you look in your notes, it's very simple. Here is our mission. Our mission is to save, equip, and send out a motivated army of believers who engage every segment of society while remaining true to our DNA. Let's read it again. Our mission is to save. Everyone say save. Say equip. Say send. Send out a motivated army of believers who engage every segment of society while remaining true to our DNA. That means that every segment of society, if you can imagine socioeconomic, ethnicity, whether they're in jail or not, whether they're successful or not, educated, every single human being, we want to go reach them. Because in this room, there is just about every issue you can imagine. There's people in here who are addicted to stuff. There's people in here who've been divorced. There's people here who've been abused and have done the abusing. There's people here who've been raped and have done the raping, who've done the thieving and robbing. All that is in this room. There's prostitutes in here and there's Johns in here. Everything you can imagine. So let's go get them. That's our mission. We're going to go get all those people. Now, our mission is not to have a big church. But the more people we have, the more people we can reach. But it's all about save, equip, and send. Now, watch this. You get saved, then you get equipped, and then you get sent out. You do not get saved and sit in the church and listen. Sitting in church and listening is not a spiritual gift. There's nowhere in the Bible says I've gifted you to just do that. And there are churches, that's all they do. They go to church and they want a Bible college and they just want to sit there and learn. That's all they want to do. That's not a biblical gift. God says, I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you're in Luke, after that is John, then you have Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. If Jesus had a vision statement, this would be one of them. In other words, a vision is your preferred future, a picture of your preferred future. If you close your eyes and you think about your physical body, what would you love it to be? That's a vision. Chiseled. 100 or whatever, how much weight, body fat measurement, whatever, percentage, whatever it is, that's a vision, a picture of your preferred future. Your bank account, what is a picture of your preferred future? Your career, what is a picture of your preferred future? That's a vision. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus says in verse 8, "You shall receive power." Everyone say power. Say it strong like you mean it.
Power.
Very good. You shall receive power or dunamis, where you get the word dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me or martus to me in Jerusalem. Everyone say Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Say Judea.
Judea.
Say Samaria.
Judea.
Say the ends of the earth.
Judea.
Basically, that means San Diego, California, United States, and around the world. That's all that means. I want you to be my witnesses here, and I want you to be my witnesses all around the world. God wants to globalize your faithfulness. If you're faithful in a little, God will globalize it. He'll do that. So what he's saying is, I'm giving you power for a very specific reason so you can be my witnesses around the world. So here we go. God has given us all this building. He's given us the fair and all these opportunities. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see in a minute some of you to teach and preach and administrate and helps and whatever so we can be his witnesses. So here we have all these people. And I'm going to use the average of 12,000 people just for sake of simplicity. About 20,000 people probably come through the doors on a monthly basis, but on a weekly basis, let's use the number for 12,000, and we're going to see the potential we have, and then we're going to see what we're going to do this year, okay? And I want you to be praying about, what about me? Because in the end, all you need to do is give the Lord 2 hours a week. That's it. 2 hours a week. And I want you to be praying about, where does God want me to spend those 2 hours? Where does God want me to spend those 2 hours? Now, this is week 4. It's the end of a series called Potential. We've been looking at the potential of your time, your talent, and your treasure. So we're just going to do a little review because it's going to put us in context of what we're going to try to accomplish. Look in your notes. Number one, time is a progression of your existence. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Time is a progression of your existence. And we talked about, based on heaven's view of time, what is our potential? Time is a progression of your existence. If you look in your notes, it says that 12,000 people are given 105.12 million hours a year. In other words, out of 12,000 people, and again, that's a very conservative number, there's 105.12 million hours a year that God has given us to use, to invest in. In heaven, God knows everything he wants to do with that time. He's given 105 million hours. That's a whole lot of hours. And to put it very simply, he's given all of you 168 hours a week. Everyone say 168. And what he's saying to you is, I want two. Now, sitting in here for an hour and 10 minutes doesn't count. Okay? I want 2 hours. Okay? Because what we're going to do as a church is we would like to give 600,000 hours this year, calendar year. That's 50,000 hours a week to San Diego. Now, that means 50,000 hours of volunteer hours, whether you're serving in Pebbles, whether you're an usher, whether you're a greeter, or whether you're down serving the homeless or somewhere. But we're going to give 600,000 hours, 50,000 hours a month, 600,000 hours for the year to San Diego. Now, you might want to know, where's that number come from? It comes from all the ministry that the staff has concluded we want to get accomplished, and we'll show that to you in a minute. But here, think about it. You get saved, you get equipped, and then you go do something. You get saved, you get equipped, and go do something. Many people want to get saved, and then they kind of want to just hang and kind of survive until you die so you can go to heaven. You know, don't go to jail. Don't get as much, almost get away with as much sin as you can without really getting ruining your life, and go to church at the same time, and then go to heaven. A lot of people live that way. In other words, it's not a pursuit to be holy. It's not a pursuit to maximize what God has given you. Just kind of get saved and stay out of trouble and be happy and like everybody else, and don't raise a lot of conflict with people and be politically correct the best you can, and then die and go to heaven. That's not what Christ called you to do. He said, I want you to get saved, and then I want you to become a disciple, and then I want you to make disciples. Okay? So get saved, equipped, and sent out. So what we're going to say is we're going to focus on getting people to the send out part, because if we can get you to send out part, you've gone through the other parts. So 600,000 hours. I want you to be thinking about, what does God want me to do? Now, in order for you to do the right thing, you got to have the Holy Spirit telling you. And you got to be reading, and you got to be, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What does God design me to do? So that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so 600,000 hours. I want you to be thinking about, what does God call me to do? Now, when you go out to the fair and you have a little in your book, a ministry book, you may not see a ministry on there that kind of turns you up. Guess what? Start one. We're going to talk about some in a minute. All these ministries people started. We have a do something box at the information booth. If you have an idea, we would love to know it. Okay? We would love to know your idea. And we'll probably ask you to be part of that, starting it. Because God's going to speak to you. What about this? That's right. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Okay, so time. Number two in your notes, talent. Talent is a unique expression of Holy Spirit power. A unique expression of Holy Spirit power. A unique expression of Holy Spirit. Turn to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. God has given you a unique, he has created you that the Holy Spirit can express himself through you in a very unique way. And the Bible refers to that as spiritual gifts. Some of you can preach, teach, administrate. You have the gift of helps. You have the gift of giving. You have the gift of exhortation, whatever. God, the Holy Spirit wants to uniquely express himself through you in that way. And there are other things you can't do as well as what he's gifted you to do. And you will never do those things as well as what he's gifted you to do because he hasn't made you to do that. Don't worry about it. What you want to worry about is what does God call me to do and who has God called me to use it on? That's what I need to know. And that's when you will experience the most joy in your life. Look what it says in verse 10 of chapter 12 of Revelation. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, the devil, who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11, here's what I want to focus on. They, the people in heaven, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony, not your spoken God save me testimony, but the expression of the Holy Spirit through your life. The expression of the Holy Spirit through your life. Your spiritual gifts, guess what it was designed to do? Overcome the devil. God has given you the ability to liberate people from the clutches of the devil. God has given you the ability, not only the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, you've been liberated, but to help someone else get liberated. And so some of y'all can preach. How many of y'all think y'all can preach? Raise your hand. It's okay. Okay, how many of y'all think y'all could teach? How many of y'all like to encourage people? How many of you like to serve people? How many of you have the gift of giving? Okay, there are, in a church this size, 1,000 people who can preach. There's 1,000, now by the way, have the gift, supernatural anointing to preach, supernatural anointing to lead, supernatural anointing to serve, supernatural anointing to administrate and organize, supernatural vision, people with supernatural faith, supernatural gift of giving. Some of y'all have the gift of giving. Now, we all should give to a certain degree, but some of y'all can really give. Matter of fact, you just can't give enough. If all those people with those gifts started to use them, woo! There is no gift that says, the Holy Spirit has come down and given you the gift of sitting and listening. That's not a gift. The Holy Spirit has given you the gift of criticism. That's not a gift. I just like to look at the negative. That is not a gift. That is not a gift of God. It's a curse of the devil. Now, if you're a very detailed person, yes, that's a gift. But use it positively. Hey, here's how we can make this better. Great, let's go. Okay? The devil wants to tear people down. God wants to build people up. And so God has said, I've given you all these talents. And by the way, I've given you, I want you to imagine all you have a sword in your hand. This big, gigantic, silver sword that's sparkling and it's so sharp it cut paper. But it's spiritual. And by the way, it's the word of God. But in addition, he's given you the sword by which you can slay the devil. And all these people are chained up to the devil. He's saying, listen, I want to use that to help those people. That's what he's given you. Okay, so some of those ministries out there are for you, but maybe you should start your own. Let's go. You feel froggy, go jump. Number three in your notes. Number three, last one, and then we'll get to the thing. Treasure, that which has exchangeable value. Treasure, that which has exchangeable value. Let me just read this to you. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord. Say honor. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled to plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. We talked about tithing. Tithing is 10%. If you're a visitor, this is not for you. Don't feel pressure. We're not trying to get your money. But if this is your church and you say, I belong to Jesus Christ, tithing is a basic act of worship, 10% of your income. We talked 2 weeks ago. God owns it all anyway, and God's the one who's going to bless you with it. It is an act of faith. But to make it simple, 12,000 people, if everyone gave $10 or more a week, which was two frappuccinos or a mocha and a cucaracha a week, whatever You know, that six, listen, $10 in this, all these people, is $6.2 million a year. Just like that. Now, if God tells you to tithe, which he does, you got to deal with that. But if you're saying, you know, I'm just going to start out, boom, that's how fast it grows. We talked about doing a thrift store, and I'm going to keep you updated on the thrift store because in church with 12,000 people, everybody has 10 articles you can give away of clothing. This is how math can add up. If you imagine treasure, if everybody gave 10 articles of clothing, which you can, ladies, how many pumps do you have sitting in your closet that are just sitting there doing nothing? Ladies, say, hey, if you know what I'm talking about. Right? Y'all have 10 pairs of shoes, much less clothes. And then all the hoochie clothes you know you need to get rid of, okay? Oh, yeah. Say hey. Mm-hmm. I know half of y'all women are saying hey about somebody else, not yourself, but that's another story. That's 120,000 articles of clothing. 120,000. Imagine if a thrift store sold that for $1. $5. That's $500,000. That's when we talk about treasure, God sees all this potential. And it's like, oh, I can give that stuff away. Easy. Now, take out this card real quick, and then before we get... This card is for you to keep, okay? We don't want this card. We want you to fill it out, though. We want you to fill out, first, look on the side that has the big drop on it, potential. It says time. We want you to commit in writing that you're going to give 2 hours a week. That's minimum. Some ministries will get out there and they'll spend more than that, but try 3 or 4 ministries this month. Number two, talent. What do you want to volunteer in? I'm going to commit to volunteering what ministry? Okay? And then it says, I commit to tithing. That's between you and God, but write something down. That's between you and God, but write something down. Now, on the back, it says, join a rock group. Go to the website. You can register for a ministry. Obviously, outside when you go, but also get in a small group as well. And then if you're volunteering on your own, you can log in your hours by texting. But when you go do it in the ministry is going to log your hours. You just make sure you get the log hours because we want to make sure we know who's doing what. Okay? Now, if you look at the bottom of your lesson plan, real quick, there's some things I want to point out because these are the measurements we're going to use as a staff that we're going after. Number one, in the do something box in the bottom of your lesson plan, it says we want to create a loving people first culture. A loving people first culture. That doesn't mean that the staff has to just love you. It means we all have to love each other. Okay, so if someone's mean to you, guess what you do? You don't go say, they're not doing it. They're not doing it loving people first. No, what you do is someone's mean to you, you love them back. It's up to you. You just got to deal with yourself. Next one, it says 850 small groups. We have a 600 and something or so. We need 200 more people to open up their homes so we can have small groups. Why do we need small groups? So you can meet people and grow with people. Make the big church small, okay? We want to start 75 community chaplains. We want to raise up 75 community retail chaplains, by the way. In other words, if you go to these retail stores, whatever retail store you go to, whether it be Vons, Starbucks, you know, whatever, wherever, O'Malley's bar, if y'all go to the bar, whatever. I'm not saying you should, but you do, okay? We want a chaplain for all the retail shops we can. We start with 75 for this year. What does that mean? Does that mean that you go to Starbucks right across here, Cold Stone, Panera Bread, and if you're the chaplain for that, you go up to the manager and say, I'm your chaplain. I want to pray for you, and I'm going to come every week, and I want to know your prayer needs for your staff, for your family, for whatever, for your business, whatever. And every week I'm going to come here and I'm going to ask how you doing. One day that manager is going to say, you know what, my mom is sick. My employee is getting a divorce. He's struggling. Can you pray for him? We want to be there for him. We want to raise up at least 75 people. I got to believe there's at least 75 people in this room that would love to do something like that. Then it says 75 Baby Rock Ministries. Baby Rock Ministries are just ministries that focus on out in the community. We have about 49 right now. I believe we'll get to 100. Every quarter, we're going to give you an update on all these numbers. And all these things. 600 people active in the army and 7,000 people we believe will get saved from all that activity. Now, to do all that, we believe it's going to take 600,000 hours. But we want you to focus on what do I do? What do I do? So let me read some ministries to you real quick, and then we're going to get you out of here and get you out there so you can get to work. Someone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good. You heard about the gang ministry, and we're going to talk more about that in future weeks. Same-sex attraction ministry, whether you have that and you want to deal with that, or you want to help people who deal with that. Animal outreach. We have a doggy ministry. These people made this ministry up. I haven't talked to them, so I don't know how it's going to work. But they're going to go to every dog park in San Diego and minister to people. I have no idea. Just imagine someone comes to church. How'd you get saved? Well, I was scooping. And then I got scooped by God. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. How you ever want to do it? Okay. Child grief ministry. Bam. We need people in the ministering arts, music, and instruments. More worship people. More worship people. Mental disabilities. Refugee ministry. Hairstyle ministry. There are people who want to give haircuts and hairstyle to people who can't afford it. Okay. Teen moms ministries. If you need a job, we have a table outside. That if you can go and put your name to get a job, but if you have a job to give, some of you need an employee. We have a table outside. We would like you to go and say, here's what I need. And I would love to get people to get jobs right here today. So if you need employees for whatever it is, there's a table out there for you to say, here's what I need. And then if you need a job, go to that table. Hopefully you'll get one. Volunteers for boys and girls clubs. Volunteers for community cleanup. When the community has an event or the city has an event, we want to be there to clean it up. Elderly assistants, not only going to convalescent homes, but going to their homes and assisting the elderly. Library ministry. You know we have libraries that are closing down. We can volunteer in the libraries to help the city out. We can volunteer in the Boys and Girls Clubs. Mentoring big brothers and big sisters. We want to volunteer and mentor those people. Park and Rec ministry. YMCA, YWCA ministry. Ministering there and volunteering there. And by the way, volunteering in all these places is going to help the city and help our community. And we're not looking to help the government. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the focus. It says we are San Diego. We're not separated from San Diego. You are San Diego. And so we're helping our city. And when we talk to the mayor is, in essence, our president. He's the president of San Diego, and the governor's the president of California, and Obama's the president of the United States. We're saying to him, look, you have a problem. You have billion whatever deficit, and you're cutting all these jobs. We have people here. We're going to serve our city. You are the city of San Diego. So we want to help the city of San Diego. Care and Concern Ministry. Lay leaders to provide encouragement and insight to members during hard times. People go through hard times in the church. We need marriage mentors. If you've had a marriage and you've been successful staying married, we need you to minister to other young couples getting married. We have a lot of young couples getting married. They have no clue what marriage is. They think it's dating on steroids. It's not. Prayer ministry, Rock Academy, worship arts, jobs. We have a Do Something box if you have ideas. Go to the information booth. We want ideas. Silent Voices Ministries. They minister to women who are contemplating an abortion. Rock University, Rock Pile, small groups. We have a bunch of sports ministries, like 20 of them. Just any kind of sports. And by the way, it's not just to play sports. It's to use the sport to share the gospel. It's to use the sport to share the gospel, okay? I'm on a flag football team, and yes, we want to win and play and all that kind of stuff and compete, but we want to share the gospel to the people we're playing against. And it's better when we win, when we beat them, then you have more leverage to share the gospel. No. So that's how it is. Adult entertainment, going to strip clubs, obviously that's only for women. These women go to the strip club. A guy asked me one day, could he get involved in it, but for reals. But what happens is when these women go into the strip club, obviously the men in there, they don't know who they are. Sometimes they do now. A lot of times they do because there's regulars on both sides. The women are regulars and the guys are regulars. But sometimes I go in and go, so what do y'all do? And they're like, well, we're from the Rock Church and we're here to pray for the girls and blah, blah, blah. And the guy will say, he'll drop his head. He'll go, yeah, I go to the Rock too. But I haven't been in a long time. This happens all the time. And then the girl's witness to the guy. So, fellas, if you're going, oh, be careful. You may get busted right up in the lobby here. Oh, yeah, I saw that girl. Okay. Cancer ministry. We have a ministry going to minister to cancer patients, not only praying for them, but serving them, getting their medicine for them, cleaning the house, taking care of their kids, cooking meals for them. It's a great ministry to people with cancer. Jesus Geeks, helping people with computers, convalescent homes, going to convalescent homes, ministering to people. Last year, over 200 elderly people got saved in convalescent homes. Amen. Ministry to deaf kids. The young lady right here has a foster care, a foster home for kids in deaf foster kids. We're the only one in Southern California. You could minister and learn how to do sign language and minister to kids. Disabilities ministries, domestic violence, eating disorder. We have women that minister to women with eating disorders. Evangelism, food service, foster care, mentors to foster care kids, home repair. If you're going to be in home repair, only be in home repair if you're already really good at home repair. Don't go to home repair to learn how to be home repair. Okay? Don't use the church people as a guinea pig. Okay? Do that somewhere else. But go there and really do a good job. And if you don't do a good job, go back and do it again. But we don't want to leave people just because you're doing it for cheap. You're not going to do a great job. Human trafficking, they're human slaves standing on the corner on El Cajon Boulevard. They are slaves. They've been kidnapped. They were stolen. And they are being held against their will to sell their body for sex to give someone else money. That's happening right here in Rosecrans. Right in hotels, right here in Point Loma, two young ladies who were part of this ministry part of this church were kidnapped and got caught and were held and being sold on Craigslist, and they were being held in a hotel right down the street. This was last year. It's all over now, but that happened. So let's do something. Let's help them. Mentoring kids, men's ministry, Mexican Christian mission. They're doing evangelism crusades down in Mexico, military ministry. They're adopting a whole squadron of 350 service members, and they're ministering to them, sending them stuff. Mom's ministry, photography ministry, prison ministry. Go to prison. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came to me. And when you didn't come to me, you didn't minister to them, you didn't minister to me. Okay, Matthew 25. Quilting ministry. If you can quilt, I can't, but quilt. A recycling ministry, duh ministry. Everyone say duh. Bring your bottles and cans and all stuff they recycle. They've already sponsored and they are already supporting through collecting recyclables 50 kids over in Africa. And amen. And by the way, I don't know the number, but I'm going to talk to them this week because I want to, you know, this year, let's take that up to 500. Let's take it up to 1,000 because we all have a lot of garbage. You have a lot of recyclables, don't you? Okay, so yes? I'm telling you, you do. You do. You bring your emotional garbage to church, now bring your real trash to church, okay? Amen. Single parent ministry, social network, TJ house building, build house in TJ. On and on and on and on and on. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm pray for you, and I'm going to get you out of here. But I want you to pray about, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have to do something. Because when you do what God's called you to do, then, and by the way, only then and only then, will you enter into the joy of the Lord like you can. Jesus says, when you're faithful in little things, I will entrust you to big things and enter into the joy of the Lord. God has created you for such a time as this, to do this specific thing. I don't know what that is, but you and God can decide that what it is. We're trying to give you the opportunity. And if the opportunity is not out there, think of something you want to do. Think of what you want to do. And then we help you start that ministry. Amen? Amen. Let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that as we have these quarterly reviews this year, that we would see you move in an amazing way in this church. Lord, we pray that we would see volunteers come out of the woodwork by the thousands. We pray we could pay off the debt of this building. We should not have to have a debt. There is plenty of money in this church to pay this building off and to start other rocks around San Diego and even outside of San Diego. We pray that all of us in here would be spurred by the Holy Spirit to do something. And this month, they would try 3 and 4 different ministries. May we be a blessing to San Diego. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.